Welcome to Shaped by Scripture. This month, we'll continue walking together through Scripture, helping you memorize it, understand it, and live it out in practical faith-shaping ways. Here's what we believe. When God's Word takes root, it bears fruit. It reshapes how we think, reorients how we live, and renews how we love. Scripture doesn't just change moments, it changes lives. So wherever you are today, pause for a moment. Take a deep breath. Open your heart to what God wants to say. And let's continue this journey together, allowing our lives to be shaped by Scripture.
Welcome back to the Shaped by Scripture podcast. My name is Scott Thomas, pastor at Lone Oak First Baptist Church, and I am grateful you've joined me again this week as we continue our five-week series called Built to Last, God's Design for Marriage and the Home. We've already seen that unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. We've talked about foundations, about surrendering the structure of our lives to the Lordship of Christ, but today we move from foundations to framing. Because here's the reality, even when the Lord builds the house, even when Christ is honored, and even when two believers are seeking Him, there will still be strain. There will be friction. There will be misunderstandings. There will be sin. There will be moments when you feel the weight of another person's weakness, and they feel the weight of yours. And the question becomes, what holds a home together when pressure hits? Colossians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 gives us God's answer. Paul, writing to the church, says this, "Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." If you want a marriage built to last, a family built to last, a church that's built to last, you must learn to bear, to forgive, and to love. Let's walk through this together today. Bearing with one another. This is the call to endure strain. Paul begins with two words that sound simple but are incredibly demanding. Bearing with. The Greek word means to endure, to hold up under pressure, to put up with something difficult without retaliating. It is not passive resignation. It is active restraint. It assumes something very important. And the assumption that is applied here is that people are difficult. I know I don't need to get an amen from the congregation on this, but your spouse can be difficult at times. Your children will be difficult. Your parents will be difficult. And the church members will be difficult. And this is a humbling statement. You're difficult too. We often enter into relationships, marriage, thinking that love eliminates friction. But marriage doesn't eliminate sin, it exposes it. Two sinners in close proximity create heat, and heat creates strain. And here's what we instinctively do with strain. We try to eliminate the source. If in a house or building, if a board bends, we replace it. If a machine rattles, we swap it. If something causes discomfort, we remove it. But Paul does not say replace one another. He says bear with one another. Bearing with means you absorb irritation without exploding. You endure immaturity without humiliating. You remain steady when emotions fluctuate. You choose patience over punishment. Now again, we don't want to suggest that this means ignoring sin. It means that in the normal daily friction of living closely with other sinners, you choose endurance over escalation. Think about how God bears with us. He doesn't destroy us every time we're prideful. He doesn't abandon us every time we doubt. And He doesn't revoke our salvation every time we stumble. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, "It is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance." God's patience creates space for growth. That's a powerful statement. God's patience provides space for growth. And your patience in a home, your patience in a marriage, your patience in a church does the same. A home built to last is one where strain does not fracture the structure. Bearing with one another is structural reinforcement. There's the second point of that verse, forgiving each other, the refusal to keep accounts. Paul continues in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Notice the assumption again. If one has a complaint, not if someday, not if rarely, but when, complaints will come. Words will be spoken, expectations will be unmet, trust will be strained, and feelings will be hurt. The question is not whether injury will happen. The question is, what will you do when it happens? And the natural response is to record it, to keep a mental ledger. That's the third time you've done that. You always say that. You never change. But what forgiveness does is it takes that ledger and it tears it up. Biblical forgiveness is the conscious decision that you will not hold this against another person. Biblical forgiveness is the conscious decision that I will not weaponize this later, that I will not make you pay. And here's the standard for what that forgiveness looks like. Paul writes, as the Lord has forgiven you. Ugh, that's breathtaking. How has the Lord forgiven you? Certainly it was a full forgiveness. Certainly it was a free forgiveness. Certainly it was a repeated forgiveness. And certainly it was a costly forgiveness. Your forgiveness was not cheap. It cost Christ His blood. And yet, even after giving up all of His blood, He does not bring up your past sins in future arguments. Imagine if God forgave like we do. I'll forgive you, but I'm still bringing it up every time we talk. I'll forgive you, but I'm not really going to trust you ever again. I'll forgive you, but I'm going to keep you at arm's length. I mean, just imagine how terrible it would be if God forgave the way that we do. And I thank the Lord that Paul doesn't say we should forgive as we forgive, but he says because the Lord has forgiven us, that's the standard that we should use when we forgive other people. And it's good news. In Psalm 103, the Bible says that God removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. Now, people will sometimes say God forgives and He forgets, and that's a wonderful sentiment, but it's not an accurate statement. See, God, being omnipotent, cannot forget. He knows all things. He cannot forget, but He can choose not to remember it. And that's where we get the statement. He pushes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. It doesn't make those no longer exist. It simply is the distancing between Him and them. And the same is true with you. In your marriage, if it's going to be built to last, you may not be able to forget entirely what was done, but you can choose to no longer remember it. And when you make that decision, what you're deciding is, I'm not going to store up ammunition. I'm not going to store up ammunition for future fights, for future arguments, or for future situations. I'm going to choose to remember it no more. And there you are beginning in forgiveness. You know, we can decorate a house beautifully, but if termites are in the structure, collapse is only a matter of time. Forgiveness is termite treatment for the soul. And forgiveness is not a one-time event in marriage. It's a lifestyle. If you put down that treatment, you're going to have to reapply it periodically. And if we want to build a marriage, if we want to build a home that lasts, we must be people that forgive the same people multiple times, sometimes for the same kind of failure. This is not being weak. Let's make note of that. This is being Christ-like. All right, point number three, love, the binding force of the structure. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, he says, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Above all these, bearing is necessary. Forgiving is essential, but love is supreme. Love is the binding agent. Think of it like mortar between bricks. You can stack bricks carefully, you can align them precisely, but without the mortar between the bricks, the wall collapses. Love binds. Biblical love is more than affection, it's covenant commitment. It is choosing the good of another even when emotions fluctuate. Love says this. It says, I am for you. I am not your adversary. I am committed to your growth. I will not withdraw when it's hard. Now, he says that it creates perfect harmony. Harmony, all right, harmony means coordinated differences. It doesn't mean sameness. It means coordinated differences. Harmony, think about it in music. Harmony in music involves distinct notes that complement each other. They're not all the same notes. They're not a cloning of notes. They are distinct notes that complement each other. And in marriage, in our homes, we're not clones of each other. We're each distinct. Different temperaments, different communication styles, different weaknesses. But love binds those differences into beauty. Now, where love is absent, small irritations become major fractures. But where love is present, even significant strain can be absorbed. Love is the atmosphere in which bearing and forgiving become possible. You cannot sustain forgiveness without love. And you cannot endure strain without love. And you cannot manufacture this kind of love on your own. Romans 5:5 tells us that the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That the love that binds your home must first flow from Christ. So let's get to the gospel. Colossians 3, this chapter is written to believers who have already been united with Christ. Earlier in the chapter, Paul says, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. In other words, this call to bear, forgive, and love is rooted in identity. You don't bear with others to earn salvation. You bear with others because you have been born again. You don't forgive to secure grace. You forgive because grace secured you. You don't love to prove your worth. You love because Christ proved his love at the cross. The cross is the ultimate act of bearing with. Christ bore our sin. The cross is the ultimate act of forgiveness. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The cross is the ultimate act of love. The Bible says, greater love has no one than this. If Christ can bear with you, if Christ can forgive you, if Christ can love you, the imperfect you, he can empower you to do the same in your home and in your marriage. Now let me ask you gently, where is strain showing up in your home right now? Where is strain showing up in your home right now? Where are you tempted to quit bearing with? Where are you withholding forgiveness? And where has love grown thin in your home? A house built to last is not one without problems. It's one where Christ shapes the response to problems. Imagine a church that's full of marriages marked by steady endurance, quick forgiveness, and covenant love. That kind of community stands firm in storms. Storms will come, cultural pressure, financial strain, health crisis, personal failures. The storms are coming. It's not a question of when if the storms are coming, it's when they're coming. And I've heard it said, and I've said before, it's an old preacher statement, you're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or about to go into a storm. When will the storm come? And then what will the storm be? Will it be pressure from the culture around you? Will it be strain from finances? Will it be a health crisis? Or will it be a personal failure? But note this. Homes reinforced with bearing, forgiveness, and love will not collapse easily because they are built not merely on compatibility, but they are built on Christ. Friends, your home, your marriage, your relationships, our church, it can be built to last if we will make the choice, if we'll make the commitment to bear with one another, to forgive one another, and to bind everything up in love. That is a good way forward. I want to thank you for tuning into this episode of Shaped by Scripture podcast. Again, I'm Scott Thomas, and I am so thankful for what the Lord has been doing in the lives of individual believers as they have sought to memorize and to understand the Bible over the course of this year, and how He is shaping lives, building homes, and strengthening His church by the Scripture. Make plans to join me and some special guests this coming week as we talk about parenting that is built to last. Again, thanks for tuning in, and I pray you will continue to be shaped by Scripture.